the guys and that I send this out to that I don't know that I don't know how long I'll be on this. It might be for years. I don't know, because this is an ongoing process that I believe that nobody ever achieves. I heard a preacher today. He was talking about sin, and he was talking about grace, and he was talking about how he went, you know, he got to where they would go. He gave the illustration of some guy that was decided he was going to give $5 every time he cussed, and to the church. And anyhow, he come in the first time, and it was $100 for that week. And I was thinking, well, that was just what he said out loud, apparently. Y'all help me now. And he kept on. He's talking about how he got it. That thing dwindled down to where it was just a little bit of money that he was paying every week. And he made it sound like as though, you know, he said, he made the comment. He said, some of you may not sin but once or twice a week. Amen. Thinking that's what's wrong with Christianity right there. A bunch of idiots that think that you're only going to sin once or twice a week. That's what's wrong with Christianity. Amen. I struggle every day of my life, not because I go out looking for sin, but I found that sin goes out looking for me. So I struggle every day of my life, and I hope I never get to the point where I feel like I have achieved and I only sin once a week. I'm striving not to sin, but at the same time, I'm real enough with myself and I examine myself enough to realize that sometimes the action may not happen, but the thought does. And it's just as much a sin as the action is. And so I am purposefully trying to renew my mind. Jesus said this about the mind. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, it's not what's on the outside that pollutes a man. Y'all with me tonight? Jesus said, it's not what's on the outside that pollutes a man. It's what's on the inside. It's not what's on the outside that defiles a man. It's what's on the inside. And we got Christianity in our day and time is built on what's on the outside. We've learned how to cover up this and cover up that, but Jesus dealt with the Pharisees, and that's what many of religious folk are today, because they wouldn't address the inside. They knew how to put on the show. They knew how to act. We call it hypocrite. But they knew how to act, but the inside of them was defiled. And so Jesus over and over again dealt with them on that. But I've been in this thing, like I said, about 2 or 3 weeks now. I'm not sure how long, to be honest with you, but this thought of renewing your mind. The Bible says that you and I are to present in chapter 12 of Romans in verse number 1. We'll read just verse 1 and 2. I got a lot of Bible I'm going to give you, but we're only going to read 1 and 2, and then you take notes from there. We're going to go on to something that I think is very important that probably doesn't get preached enough today, all right? Now, Romans chapter number 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me just stop and say this. Our everyday life is to be a sacrifice. I'm going to go over here and say it, all right, because they didn't get it. Our everyday life is to be sacrificial. We got the mindset Christ sacrificed once and for all, and that was it. But according to this verse, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means not dying, continually living as a sacrifice. That means sacrificing my wants, sacrificing my desires, sacrificing the things that I would that I shouldn't. Y'all with me? This is this living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which the Bible says is just reasonable. Did y'all get that? That's just reasonable. The fact of the matter, Christ had to die for all that unholiness that you and I commit. So the fact that he died for that and was punished for that, it's just reasonable, Jesse, that a Christian would live a sacrificial life and be holy, acceptable unto God. So it is our reasonable service. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, as I looked this up and as I studied this, conformed means don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. So I'm not, how many of y'all saved in here? Raise your hand. I'm not to be, you're not to be, as a saved individual, you're not to be conformed to the pattern of the world. In other words, let me say it like this. I'm not supposed to be who I used to be. Let me say it like this. I'm not supposed to act like I used to act. In other words, I'm not supposed to act as according to what is acceptable to the world, but I am to be, verse 1, acceptable unto God, which means that I have to change the pattern in my life. I can't be conformed to the same pattern that I was before salvation, because now I'm a new creature. The Holy Spirit living inside of me, I now have power over that old pattern, and I am to be a new pattern. Is everybody with me? I'm to be a new pattern. I'm to be transformed. It says, be ye transformed. How do I transform to the new pattern? Come on, don't be, it ain't a trick question. What does it say? Renewing your mind. So God saved me. The Holy Spirit indwells me. But I still got... I need somebody to help me. Y'all ain't getting this like I got it. I don't reckon. I still got that messed up, jumbled up, been all in sin kind of mind. And it is up to me to... renew it. Who said that? You did so good. It's up to me to renew it. Because if I want to change the pattern, I've got to change the mind. I can't do things like I used to do them. It's not going to work in the Christian life for me to act and to think like I did when I was a lost person. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Yes, I'm saved, but it's not, I'm not going to be acceptable unto God if I'm still living as if I'm not saved. So I've got to change the pattern. I can't be conformed to this world, but I got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. See, if I'll put the right things in here, then it'll come out in my actions. That's what Jesus said. It's not what's on the outside that defiles a man, but it's what's on the inside. So if I want to change what's on the outside, I got to change what's on the inside. Listen, I need somebody to help me. Right now, I need you to understand what I'm trying to tell you. It is not about doing rule number 1, rule number 2, rule number 3, rule number 4. It ain't about that. Who can, I'm not interested in what sin you have. All I'm saying is that if you change this, if you renew this, then what you're doing with these, and with this, and with this, and with these, is all going to change. But you got to fix what's going in. You got to fix what's going in. I've told y'all this, man. I've preached on this for 10 years. It's not about, we get so wrapped up on like drinking. Well, everybody knows that's a sin. Well, so is pride. But you will sit there and you'll listen to a sermon on drinking because you don't do it, but yet you won't listen to a sermon on pride when it affects everybody in the building. Because we've got a set of rules, and this is the only sins that are out there is drinking and smoking and cussing and doing this and doing that. We got our little list of what we see as sins, and God says, no, there's a lot more goes into that. Envy, jealousy, wrath, anger, all these things go. Is everybody all right? Pride, gossip, oh man, there's so many things that God throws at you. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's going to take me the rest of my life just to get the list that God had. Much less the list that all the brethren have made up. Is everybody all right? So I got to renew my mind. And I've been dealing with renewing my mind. I got to change what I'm putting in there. If you was in Bible study Sunday night, if you was in our discipleship class, I told you the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8 that we're to think on some things, those things that are pure, holy, just, or honest, and all those things true. Those are the things that we're to think on. And I said those are all principles in the Bible. So what do I have to think on? The Word of God. Because if I think on the Word of God, y'all got to help me now. The more I put the Word of God in here, the more it's going to come out in here. I can't be conformed to the pattern. I can't do things like I used to. What I used to look at, I'm not supposed to look at now. Maybe you've battled with pornography and you got saved and you know better than anybody. The very first thing you need to do is get rid of pornography, right? But you got to put something in its place. And so many times we went from bad things that we used to put in our mind. Now we're going to Facebook, but it ain't bad. Social media, it ain't bad. I mean, is everybody all right? One of the first things I told, I don't know that I'm rambling. I'm trying to get to it. I got a long sermon, but we probably ain't going to get to it because y'all couldn't handle it. All right. But one of the very first things I did, was I got rid of all social media. I ain't asking you to do it. I ain't preaching for you to do it. But I'm going to tell you how it affected me. I'm giving you an illustration. So I get on social media and I see something that I disagree with. Well, then I want to post something about it or I want to say something about it. And so now my mind is on something it shouldn't be on. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Now I go through my day and it's made me so mad at what I seen that morning that I'm still thinking about it. And at lunchtime, I'm telling somebody else something I seen. Is everybody all right? Now I'm long off of Facebook, but Facebook is still in me. I'm going to go over here and preach this over here. I'm long off of Facebook. I ain't opened up Facebook, but yet Facebook is still in me. The drama of Facebook still in me. The drama of social media is still in me. All right? And it ain't just drama from church folks. I'm talking about, Lord help, I can't even watch the news without getting mad. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Right? I can't even listen to NPR and NSR and all these other news. It's supposed to be just news, but anyhow, I can't even listen to them without getting mad. Is anybody with me? Y'all help me now. Y'all help me. So these things are in my mind and I'm going through my day mad because of something I heard. That's right. Do you realize what I put in, what you put in, is going to come out? Right. You want to talk about getting me ornery? Man, I'm telling you, let me go to reading some politics and I'm telling y'all. I think they're all dumb, every one of them. I don't care if they got a D in front of their name or an R in front of their name or an I in front of them, they're all idiots. The eyes are the only ones that got it right. They're idiots. I think it's independence, but I've got to mind what goes in my mind. I've got to guard it. I've got to guard what I listen to. I'm just giving y'all some quick stuff and I'm trying to get somewhere. I got to guard what I listen to. I got to guard what I see. See, I can't count on somebody else to guard what I see. I need some fellas to help me right here. It ain't my responsibility, or it ain't, let me do it this way. It ain't her responsibility, and I ain't pointing at my wife. Let me do it this way. It ain't her responsibility to dress right. It's my responsibility how I look. Is everybody understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
See, we want to blame it on somebody else when you and I are the ones that are sinning. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I got to guard my eyes. What does that mean, preacher? That means when you see something you shouldn't, you turn away. Hey, is everybody okay? When I hear something, I need to guard what I'm hearing. I need to guard what I'm listening to. You take that any way you want to. It can mean music for you, or it can mean the people that you work with. But I got to guard what I'm hearing. I got to guard what I'm seeing. And Lord knows I got to guard what I'm saying, right? But here's something that most people don't think about, and this is something that I shared this morning. I got to guard who I hang around. Now, this is what I wanted to preach on tonight, and I know I ain't got a lot of time, but this is what I want to preach on tonight is friends. The power of friendship. That's what I entitled this, the power of friendship. Do you know that friendships are imperative? You go back in the Bible, and I'm not going to give you all the stuff that I got or we won't ever get through. But if you go back in Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 18, the Bible says that man was created out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that God said it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Anybody ever catch that? Every day, day one, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Morning and evening of the first day, and God said it was good. Day two, God said it was. Day three, it was. Day four, it was. Day five, it was good. Day six, he created Adam, and for the first time, God says, it ain't good. It ain't good for man to be alone. You know how many times we preach that and put that in context, and boy, because he gave him a mate, and so we take that into marriage and everything else, but the fact of the matter is it wasn't good for him to be alone. It didn't say it wasn't good for him not to have a mate.
That's right.
It wasn't good for him to be alone. And so friendships are imperative according to God. Do you know this? Friendships are imperative according to Scripture. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one.
That's right.
Is everybody all right? Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Right off the bat, two, better than. Friendships are imperative. You and I need them, is what I'm trying to tell you. You and I need friendships. We shouldn't shy away from them, be worried about them, or scared of them. The Bible literally tells us that you and I need friendships. It's not good for us to be alone. But do you know that that friendships are imperative, but do you know that friendships, they're influential? Oh, they're influential. Who you hang around, they say that if you take the five people that you hang around the most, you are an average of those five people. So who you hang around matters. If I'm going to renew my mind, and hey, listen here, I can't renew my mind if I'm hanging around people that are conforming to this world. Do y'all see how it all fits together? And you know what the biggest problem in Christianity is today? We've got a new spirit. We got saved and we're this new creation. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. But everything around us is the same. And we're trying to go through life and be conformed to the image of His dear Son, hanging around people that would rather look like the devil. They don't go to church. They don't care nothing about church. They ain't, Lord help, they ain't gonna read their Bible unless a verse comes across Facebook. They're not gonna encourage you into a deeper walk with the Lord. They're not going to encourage you to avoid sin and keep it out of your life. Because if you do that, then they're going to look bad. I need somebody to help me. And I found that a lot of these people are in the church. Friends are influential. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The Bible says you better watch out who you hang around with. Did y'all get that? You want me to read that again? It says you better be careful who you hang around with. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications, that word, by the way, means company. The people you hang around with. Let me read it. Can I put it in the RJH version? Is everybody ready? Be not deceived. Don't be lied to. The people that you hang around will corrupt you. That's my version. That's exactly what that verse means. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The people that you hang around with matter. They influence you. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You want me to read it over here? We've missed this. And the reason that we missed it is because we develop relationships, and that's what we do as humans. It was not good for us to be alone. We're relational beings, and we've developed relationships with people. And then we have a relationship with Christ, and we get saved, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And all of a sudden, I'm going to just say this, our spirit doesn't bear witness with their spirit, but our flesh still does. And if we want to continue to hang around with them, then we are going to have to conform to what they're doing. Oh, y'all better help me. Because I'm going to tell you something. The fastest way to lose a friend is to get saved and get all in with Jesus. Who was it? Lee Kinsey today. He was getting this phone call. He said, man, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. These people keep calling me and I don't know how to get rid of them. I said, tell them about Jesus. That's exactly what I told him. I said, tell them about Jesus. They won't call you back for a month. I said, just get on there and preach a sermon. They'll be done with you. They won't call you again, brother. You can just hang it up, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to help some of y'all people, all right? All these customers that won't leave y'all alone, just get on the phone with them. Let me tell you about Jesus and how good he is. Let me tell you what he done for me. They'll be hung up on you. Hey, look, I got to go, man. I'll call you back later. You won't hear from them for a month. Why? Because our spirit doesn't bear witness, and as long as our flesh is bearing witness, we can hang around them. But as soon as we change and start renewing our mind, they'll leave you. See, the problem is you're worried about how am I going to leave them. The problem is that if you'll live right with God, they'll leave you. The problem isn't how you're going to get rid of them. You just think that's the problem. Those friends will drop you. I need somebody to help me. They'll drop you like hotcakes when you start serving the Lord. They'll say things like, oh, you holier than thou. Oh, you done went and found religion. You know why I know all this? Because this was the same things that was said to me by people that I thought was always going to be there on my side. And I'll go ahead and share something too. It wasn't just friends that done it to me.
Amen.
Friends have an influence on your attitude. Man, me and Brother Scott have a mutual friend that's a pastor, and he had some friends. He has a friend that comes in and preach. I'd never have this guy in my pulpit. Never, never. I wouldn't even let him on the property. I'd meet him out in the parking lot and take him somewhere else. Take him over to the Church of God or something. But anyhow, he's just mean. He's mean. I mean, he name calls. I mean, he's just mean. He's just a mean preacher. And if you allow yourself to be around him in about a week, all of a sudden, you mean. And we were talking about that and how this preacher would have him in to preach a revival. And for 2 weeks, you couldn't stand to be around him because he was so stinking mean. Why? Because a friend influences your attitude. Friends influence your actions. I can prove it. I'm going to church. Hey, man, let's go do this. It's just one Sunday. Well, if it's just one Sunday, we'll go. It's Sunday fun day. As long as we give it a name, it's all right. Is everybody okay? Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know the friends that you need to be hanging around are at church, but yet you're not at church? Man, you make the biggest argument for being at church by the people that you hang around with. They influence our actions. They influence our attitude. Let me go ahead and say this. They influence our assets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of our friends, their hobbies become our hobbies. Is everybody all right? They go out and buy Harleys. I just had to get Jesse. I wouldn't have got Jesse, but he laughed there in the middle of it, so I got Jesse, all right? Jesse went out and bought a Harley, and now we're heading out west. We're going out to Wyoming and going out to Montana and all that, riding a motorcycle. And Jesse, we're influencing his assets. He just don't even realize it. Hey. They have influence on your attitude, your actions, your assets, and your affections. This is going to be good, so don't miss it. The people you hang around will decide for you who else you can hang around. I need somebody to help me. Y'all know it's the truth. The people you hang around will influence the others that you hang around. Because they ain't going to let you hang around with somebody that they don't approve of. So they influence not only your attitude, your actions, and your assets, but they influence your affections. Is everybody all right? Number three, friends are, what do we say? Friends are imperative. Friends are influential. Friends are, how about this one? Imperfect. You're not going to find a perfect friend. I mean, you can go and look at Jonathan and David, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know of a better relationship that you could pattern your life after than David and Jonathan. But if you'll go and read scripture and do it carefully, you'll find out that Jonathan and David, every now and then they kind of butted heads too. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying friends are imperfect. In other words, don't expect to find the perfect friend. Understand that they're human beings and they have faults. But know this, you are an influence on them. So in their imperfections, are you leading them closer to the Lord or farther away? Now, I won't spend a whole lot of time right here because really and truthfully, if your relationship with God is correct, then your relationship with others will be. But we need to know friends are imperfect. I'm going to go ahead and finish this thing up. Friends, lastly, is everybody with me? Friends are invested. Here's your feel-good moment of the night. Is everybody all right? A friend loves. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 tells us about love, and it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's love. And the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. The Bible says a friend helps. James chapter number 5, verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. A friend loveth, but a friend helps. A friend encourages. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are to exhort one another. You know what that means? It means to strongly encourage. We're to be doing that. But so many Christians are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together that we're not being encouragers to other Christians. Is everybody with me? And I'm not talking to you. You're here tonight. But what I'm saying, the mentality of the world is we don't need church. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm going to renew my mind, I'm going to have the right kind of friends. And the right kind of friends are going to be found in the church, not out there excuses why they can't come to church. The Bible says that I am to love. A friend loves. A friend helps. A friend encourages. A friend is there. A friend is there. I wrote down on this, I've heard this my whole life, a friend in need is a friend indeed. A friend is there. A friend's there when everything is going wrong. A friend is there when the burden is heavy. Yeah, let me give you an example. A friend helps you move the house. He doesn't come up with excuses when moving day comes. Is everybody all right? Amen. Now apply that spiritually. Burdens we carry. A friend is there when you're burdened. Not just when everything's going good and you're on the mountaintop. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. How about this one? A friend forgives. Yeah. Bible says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. A friend forgives. Well, remember, friends aren't perfect. They're imperfect. Man, I need y'all to hear me. More people get out of church because somebody in the church did something that they got upset about. And you get all upset and justify your reason for leaving church was because of what they did to you. But the Bible says you're to forgive them. So really the reason that you left is because you're unforgiving. Not because of what they did. It's because you're unforgiving, because you're commanded to forgive as Christ has forgave you. And here we are. We're leaving churches because somebody said something to us out of context, didn't know what you were going through, but it made you mad and you can't forgive them. Amen. I got that tidbit while I was in Key West. My man said, I told Brother Brown, I'm going to use this at some point. He said, say amen or say ouch, but say something. That's right. Yeah. He said, the problem is that we didn't forgive. We won't forgive. I could preach on that, and I'm not going to. A friend rejoices in your victories. Hey, do you know that there's some people in this church that I won't tell you what's going on in my life? I love you, but I won't tell you what's going on in my life because you won't rejoice with me. And if you can't rejoice with me, then are you really a friend? You might be a church member, but are you really a friend? If you can't rejoice in my victories, the Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. The Bible says, and weep with them that weep. A friend rejoices in your victories. How about this one, and I'm done. A friend makes you better. A friend makes you better. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes a friend will hurt. Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'm trying my best to renew my mind. I'm praying and I'm believing, I'm trusting God's word that if I'll fix this, I'll fix a lot of the things that I struggle with. But one of the things that I'm dealing with, some of the things that I'm dealing with, is what I'm allowing in. And I've got people that aren't coming to church anymore and people that no longer are involved in church anymore because they've gotten around the wrong people. And it was innocent. We desire relationships. We're relational beings. It's not good for us to be alone. Which makes it all the more important, Jesse, that you and I have the right friends around us. I got to have the right people around me. I got to have people. Listen, I don't know. Man, y'all have heard 100 quotes on friendships and all this other stuff. But a man said this. He said, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to get another circle. Is everybody with me? If you're the smartest person in your circle, you need to get another circle. And let's take that to the spiritual. If you're the most spiritual in your circle, then you need to get another circle. Because friends influence you. People you hang around influence you. And there's nothing wrong with having somebody that's not as spiritual as you are. But what is wrong is not having somebody that's more. Everybody with me? I'm trying to make us better. Amen. Trying to make me better, and I'm hoping I'm making you better. And I don't know, I might even do a series on this, but the first one was friends. We need to be careful who we're hanging out with. Amen. Because I don't want to lose another friend. Amen. Because of their friends. I wish I had time to give you everything. But I told you, it says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world. I can't go about friend selection the same way I did when I was lost. I know it's good. They ain't caught it yet, but you will sometime around supper tonight or out of bed. Y'all get that. But I can't select friends like I used to. I can't be conformed to the pattern of the world, how I used to do things. I can't be conformed to that. I got to change how I select my friends. That's a big part of renewing your mind. Dalton's going to come to the piano and give you all a chance to come around the altar. Because I wrote down, you need to examine. I didn't give you this, but I will. You need to examine your friends tonight. Do your friends encourage you to a closer walk with Christ? If you got anybody in your friend list, your circle that doesn't do that, you need to come give that friend to God. Are you hearing me? You need to come give that friend to God. Because all that friend's going to do is pull you away from God. Does your friend encourage you to have other godly relationships? What kind of friend are you? Tonight, I want you to examine. Who am I hanging around with? Are they making me a better Christian? Are they pulling me away from God? And then you need to make a decision. Am I going to conform to this world? Or am I going to be transformed? Transformed, I'm going to have to renew my mind. Renew my mind, I'm going to have to change who I'm hanging out with. Won't you come around the altar, heads are bowed. Come find a place at the altar tonight. Thank you.